The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
An assault at George's Dock Lewis stop in Dublin on Sunday night has left a 29-year-old man in a critical but stable condition in hospital. The man was set upon by up to 10 young males, estimated to be aged between 15 and 18. His e-scooter was also stolen during the attack. I'm joined now by criminologist Trina O'Connor and by independent Dublin City Councillor Mannix Flynn. Good morning and welcome to you both. Mannix, your reaction to this kind of attack. It's not isolated in its nature, but certainly in its severity, it's rare enough, I suppose.
This comes on top of, as I say, you know, many incidents in the city centre over the past couple of months. You know what I mean? I mean, we're on the radio and the television speaking about this on a regular basis. You know, these kind of assaults, this is a very serious one indeed and is under investigation by Garda Síochána Conor, so there's a limited amount of information that can be given here. Nonetheless, again, you know, most recently, Mountjoy Jail, another person in custody, in the state custody, beaten to death in a cell. You know, and I listened to your comments, you know, in relation to the actual item this morning, and you mentioned the fact that antisocial behaviour. This is not antisocial behaviour. This is criminality. This is criminal behaviour. This is way beyond graffiti or way beyond putting your feet on a seat on a train. This is a serious assault by individuals in the city centre, on top of many, many assaults that have taken place in the city centre. And many of the citizens feeling very, very frightened about going in there, particularly women, particularly young, vulnerable individuals. And unfortunately, you know what I mean, we don't have the proper response. We've got the Minister for Justice opening Garda stations with massive fanfares. We've got Garda management, like, you know, nowhere to be seen. I mean, I would call on the Minister for Justice and indeed the Garda Commissioner to come out and assure the public that they're going to deploy the officers. We have Operation Citizen on our streets and it's to no avail. I mean, you know, it's bad in the public domain, but it's even worse again in social housing settings. The city councils and the local authorities are doing very little. And again, you know, this assault that took place on, you know, at a Lewis stop. The Lewis have their own private security. There's calls for a Garda transport unit. Like, by the time they actually, like, you know, have a Garda transport unit in play, there'll be many, many assaults. The point of the matter here is, Pat, very simple. There's no regard for law and order. There's no regard for the consequences. These are young people in the main, and they're not the only ones. There are adults as well, and it's cross class in many respects. It's just unacceptable. But the point of the matter is this. This is a major failure, and it's a threat to our society and a threat to our city. It's simply appalling.
Now, what's gone wrong, Mannix? Because in the past, over the decades, there have been different waves of violence among young people. I mean, there was the Boot Boys, and before that, there were mods and rockers, and before that, there were animal gangs. You know, there tends to be, from time to time, waves of violence. In the current era, where, you know, people are not poor anymore in the main, there's education for all if they want it, if they take advantage of it. So what's going wrong today?
Well, the situation is that, you know, if you go onto social media, violence is glorified. It's glorified in many kind of cultural, you know, expressions, in song, in dance, in film. Young people are at risk in terms of picking up these situations, and they don't understand the consequences. We're not educating our children into, you know, respect for law and order. And again, at the end of the day, if you go onto social media, you'll see all those videos. You saw a situation happening there recently in Dublin Airport where a fight went on from almost 20-odd minutes. This sends out a very, very bad signal, and we're not counteracting this situation. We also know that in the past, the Garda Síochána Conor, in terms of prosecuting young juveniles, failed entirely to prosecute tens of thousands of cases. So that's a failure to protect young people, to warn young people. The law is there to protect as well as to actually, you know, bring those to bear. So there's a major failure. And also, Pat, I would say this much. There are tens of thousands of NGO organisations that are dealing with youth cultures, etc., etc. There are many, many organisations that do exemplary work. But there seems to be a major failure here. And the failure here, in my opinion, is one where we're failing the youth themselves. But also, there's a major failure here in terms of public order and safety in the public domain that the society and the state has to stand up to. Your last, and I finish with this, your last item there about nurses leaving the country because of the working conditions in this country. Again, that again sends out a real signal that our society, our government, our state is beginning to fail entirely. You know, not just the nurses, but the people who want to go about their shopping, and indeed the young people who are finding themselves at the back end of the law, now, and they will end up in jail.
Let's talk about what the Garda Commissioner can do. I mean, the buck stops at his desk, and it also stops at the desk of the Justice Minister. I mean, is it that the Gardaí are not deployed properly? Are they not equipped to deal with antisocial behaviour? You know, they wear kid gloves, lest someone uses a telephone to video them and they end up before GSOC or whatever. Is it that they don't have the powers? Do they have the equipment? Do they have the CCTV? Do they have facial recognition? So when they actually have video of the yobs doing terrible things, they can identify them more readily. Where does the problem actually lie?
The problem actually lies in the fact that there's no proper deployment of an Garda Síochána on our streets. There's been a major cutback, as you know, in Garda Síochána over the last number of years, with stations closing, etc., and a lack of recruitment. But the issue here is we have rearranged and reorganised the entire Garda Síochána rostrum and the way they operate and the way they work. This was brought in over the last number of years, and it's akin to the London Metropolitan Police roster. At the end of the day, a lot of young Garda Síochána go out there, and many of them are unsupervised. There's a huge myriad of problems. We don't even have cameras on Garda Síochána so as that we can see what's actually going on. There's very little backup. I know of people waiting over an hour. We know, for instance, about 999 calls not being responded to. We know the myriad of stuff. But the point of the matter is that we're still talking about this and nothing's actually happening. Many young members of Garda Síochána that I speak to, sergeants and inspectors and indeed new recruits, want to go out there and want to help society, but they're hamstrung by the rostrum and they're hamstrung by Garda management. What we have here is Garda management. I read those reports. I'm a member of the Garda Síochána of the Joint Policing Committee. I'm vice chairman, so I see all the reports. I go across the annual reports. I collate all the information there. The bottom line is this, is that we need more Gardaí on the street. We need more preventative situation. And we need Dublin City Council to manage their estates and manage the public domain in a proper way.
Now, we were, you know, told years ago you had Gardaí who were, you know, over 6 feet tall and they tended to be an intimidating physical presence. And then someone says, oh, well, the police in New York, some of them are only 5'8", so it's not about height. Yeah, but the gun that you're wearing on your waist adds about 10 inches to your height. That's for sure. So, I mean, are our police actually trained to deal with the yobs?
Well, look, Pat, we have on Garda Síochána on our streets armed response units, many armed response units. And what we see in terms of the visibility of those armed response units and emergency response units, we see there's also a huge amount of backup that's covert, that's private, that's Garda in civilian clothing with backup. We all know this. We know the success on Garda Síochána has had with gangland violence and with deploying officers in there to curtail and stop murder. We also know the great success on Garda Síochána had in dealing with the major threat of the IRA to our society. And I compliment and commend on Garda Síochána for this. But on this particular issue where there's a major social failing and there's a huge failing in terms of drugs, alcohol abuse, and indeed, you know, our young, there's a major, major problem here. And that situation is where there's a no respect for an Garda Síochána. There is simply no regard whatsoever. You get individuals spitting at an Garda Síochána, disregarding an Garda Síochána. And we have to go to a situation where we have a zero tolerance. Now, the last time I heard zero tolerance from a minister was actually John O'Donoghue when he was Minister for Justice some time back, where he issued a decree that there be a zero tolerance for this kind of... And it worked up to a point. Now what we have to do is we have to deploy on Garda Síochána over a long period to bring back, first of all, the confidence of the public to go back into the city centre and to deal with those who would offend. So we need a zero tolerance. We need to stand up to this matter. And it's not just something that's happening on public transport or in around public transport. It's happening on our streets. Yeah. It's happening on a daily basis. And it's absolutely unacceptable. I mean, the city manager, for instance, is obsessed about changing the way we transport ourselves into the country. We want people out of the motor car. More and more people are telling me there's no way they'll go on public transport. There's no way they'll go on a push bike or on a scooter because of the threat that's out there. In the meantime, Dublin City Council, which have a direct responsibility for the policing and the management of the public domain, are failing entirely in their duty. What we have to do here, Pat, as far as I'm concerned, is wake up to the real problem that we have here. We've a major problem on our streets of crime and antisocial behaviour at the lower end and serious criminal assaults on the other. The minister quite rightly addressed the issue of domestic violence by standing up to that situation and saying, well, I'm not going to tolerate this, putting major guard resources at the disposal of it, and also finance. The same needs to apply in terms of the safety of our streets, and not just Dublin, but Cork, Limerick, Galway and rural Ireland. We have to stamp this situation out, and the only way to stamp this out, the only way to deal with this situation is zero tolerance, consequences, arrests and charges. I understand all the other issues about not wanting juveniles and not wanting youths to get convictions. That's up to a judge to decide that. I understand all the poverty issues. I understand all the social issues. I understand all the deprivation issues, the drug issues, the homeless issues. I understand all of those situations. But at the end of the day, Pat, every individual human being is responsible for their behaviour, even though there may be, you know, adverse circumstances that would lead to the person committing the crime. We are all responsible and we have to be held accountable. Remember this, Pat, and it's very important. There's more rights for the offender than there is for the person who's the victim. And the victim here are the witnesses who saw that crime taking place down on George's Dock, the witnesses who saw lots of crime taking place, and those who are full of fear. So it's time now to realise that if we want a safe, good place where we want people to go out and dine in our city, go out there and go into the pedestrianised spaces that Mr. Keegan is building, we need these places to be safe. At the moment, you wouldn't even want to walk down the boardwalk.
All right. Mannix, thank you very much for joining us. Mannix Flynn, Independent Dublin City Councillor. Now, we want to talk to Trina O'Connor, criminologist, about all of this. I mean, Mannix is talking about deterrence, about consequences for people. This stuff is going on, and it seems that those who are perpetrating it have zero empathy for those they are attacking.
Yeah, I think a lot of Mannix's points are very good. However, it's much more than just a policing issue. I think whenever we look at violent or antisocial behaviour, it really is symptomatic of social problems. And I know Mannix said that he understands all them things. And because he understands all them things, he should know that actually early intervention is what we need to do in order to stop this becoming problematic in a cycle year after year. And
yeah, but also, isn't one of the early interventions that you see the fella who's 15 who does this, he goes to jail? So the fella who's 11 says, I don't want to go to jail, I'm not going to do it. That's early intervention too.
Well, I suppose you could look at it that way. However, what we need to do is we need to look at, if there's an 11-year-old acting in an antisocial way, well, they're communicating a message to us and we need to listen, because children aren't born violent or antisocial. So there's obviously something going on for that child, and us as the adults, and this is where I think Mannix missed out a bit. These are children we're talking about, and children who are not getting a chance to self-actualise as individuals before they're being criminalised is not the way that we should be doing this. I think there's a lot of really good work done with the Garda Youth Diversion Project, and I think that in the new strategy for working with youth from the government, they're looking at restorative practices, and I think that could be key for turning this around. If a young person is growing up in an environment where they don't feel safe, where they're experiencing violence, where they're experiencing neglect, they will have a lack of regulation of their own emotions. They'll hit out at society. They could also be suffering from trauma.
How do you do that early intervention? If a fella is having the lard beaten out of him by his father, and therefore that turns him into a violent person himself, what do you do? Do you take that child out of that home, away from his parents? Is that an early intervention that would be acceptable to anyone?
Well, there's so many different interventions that you can do. I mean, some of the things that you can do is you can do CBT with the child, so cognitive behaviour therapy. You can also do family therapies, training around problem solving for the parents. Actually, Osnam House there in Mountjoy Square are running a family therapy group to support parents who are parents in the lone teenagers, and then parents in separated situations, so that they can parent, co-parent together. So there is a lot of resources out there. But the point that I would make about it, Pat, is through my 30 years working in community, is resources need to be permanent. Like, if we identify, and there is a bit of a moral panic around these things, sometimes things can be overhyped by, you know, different people's narratives, but it's important that we understand that there's usually a small number of young people involved in these kind of acts. Now, if we can identify them, and then we can put the resources in place in a wraparound multi-agency approach, support the child, support the parent, support the community, support the peers, then we can go some way to providing a much better avenue for that young person to go down, rather than criminalising children. Yeah.
So what do you do then to those kids who may have perpetrated this attack? You know, wrap them in some sort of cozy blanket of care when they've perpetrated a criminal act?
No. It's not about not punishing people. I think when you look at restorative justice, I mean, that's about addressing crime. So it's looking at focusing on the harm that was done to the victim, holding the offender accountable for their actions, and maybe using a circle, for example, the young person could meet somebody who's been in the victim of a similar crime, and they can see the harm that's done to that person. Like, the thing with restorative justice, it's about building relationships, it's about building respect, making young people, or indeed adults, taking responsibility for their actions. Repairing the harm is very important. And then reintegration, because if we marginalise young people when they're teenagers and criminalise them, well, then we're just excluding them from society. What we need to do is we need to encourage pro-social behaviours in young people. And I think the fourth thing to do is to treat both the offender and the victim, obviously, with compassion and kindness, so that we can see where we can make some inroads. Because writing young people off as violent or antisocial at a very young age without giving them the proper intervention path, I think, is a very unkind thing to do. And it's not looking at the whole picture. And I get the frustration of people. But you know, studies will tell us that when we look at restorative justice processes, that we get a better response and a better result long term.
Trina, thank you very much for that. Trina O'Connor, who is a criminologist.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.